webcasting to the world.
Do you remember the moment that you saw yourself in God and God in you, and you were one with the universe and God and everybody?
Knowing the truth about the gospel.
You were one with the prostitutes and pimps and priests and kings, and there was nobody on earth that was better than you nor less than you.
That we are all righteous.
And no one on earth was any less in Christ than anyone else.
That's Mike Williams, and this is the Gospel Revolution. And now, here's Glenn Klein online.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for tonight's invocation, let us go to the Daytona Beach Racetrack.
Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for all your blessings. You said in all things give thanks. So we want to thank you tonight for these mighty machines that you brought before us. Thank you for the Dodges and the Toyotas. Thank you for the Fords. And most of all, we thank you for Roush and Yates partnering to give us the power that we see before us tonight. Thank you for GM Performance Technology and the R07 engines. Thank you for Sunoco Racing Fuel and Goodyear Tires that bring performance and power to the track. Lord, I want to thank you for my smoking hot wife tonight, Lisa. My two children, Eli and Emma, or as we like to call them, the Little E's. Lord, I pray and bless the drivers and use them tonight. May they put on a performance worthy of this great track. In Jesus' name, boogity, 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 amen.
Now that, beautiful humans, is the way to pray. Greetings, you beautiful humans. This is Glenn Klein Online. It is Hump Day, Wednesday, July 27, 2011. The only July 27, the last Wednesday of July 2011 ever. Welcome in on this Gospel Revolution Wednesday night. Glad to have you along with the ride. Michael, boogity, boogity, boogity.
Works as good as anything.
I wonder, was that praying in tongues, you think?
I think it would qualify.
Exactly. There was a lot of joy. He prefaced this pastor prefaced his prayer at the start of this NASCAR race. I think it was at Daytona 500, but I'm not exactly sure where it was. I said Daytona Beach. You NASCAR fans, please forgive me. I know you will. he prefaced his statements by, "In all things give thanks." And, when people have asked us about prayer, that's what we recommend. Of course, we're not recommending to thank God for Sunoco high-quality performance fuel. Better to thank us or to thank him for the gospel and the grace of God, but we got his heart, didn't we?
Hey, whatever's on your list, you know?
Exactly.
Whatever's on your list.
We are coming to you live from the Bay of the Holy Spirit, Tampa Bay, Florida. Glad to be with you that are listening live. If it's a couple minutes after 9 o'clock on the east coast of the U.S. of A., you are listening live, and that means you are cordially invited to join us. Sean O'Halloran waiting in studio to take your calls at 1-800-436-3260. 1-800-436-3260 in the United States of America and Canada. If you're listening outside North America, call us at 813-425-5773. Get on the phone early and often, 813-425-5773 is the direct line in the studio. And for the second time in the history of the Gospel Revolution webcast, we're also happy to welcome in studio the administrator, the Secretary of Defense of the Gospel Revolution, Mr. Jeff Robertson. Jeff Rowe!
Good evening.
Are you taking Michael's place as Bela Lugosi tonight?
My Lugosi needs some work, doesn't it?
It comes to Michael very naturally.
It does, doesn't it?
Say hello to Jeff Rowe, Michael.
Good evening, Jeff Rowe.
See, that's how you do it, damn it.
That's it.
That is how you do
that's
it.
That's Bela Lugosi right there. Yeah.
Well, Mikey, last week we did the email extravaganza, and of course, because we did it, it encouraged a lot of emails coming through. Let's get to those, and I know the phone's going to ring, so you guys get on the phone, And we will read some emails, get through some of those because they're already logged and queued up. This is, well, he doesn't say who it's from exactly. It just his email address is read online. And he says, hi, Glenn and Mike. I understand that this Wednesday's webcast was focused on responding to email listeners. Well, I had some theological dialogue with my family members early this July, and my brother later sent me the following email containing some comments and questions, as well as the writing I include here in the attachment. You guys do such a great job of answering questions, so I'm asking if you would respond to the following email. And the email, Michael, is entitled, Does God Love Everyone Unconditionally? It says in the introduction of this, it's long, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but we'll get the gist of it. It says, we have come now into the most famous verse in the Bible, John 3:16, which God says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. This seems to be a good place to study the love of God and to the answer the question, does God love everyone unconditionally? And I, you know, it's a long letter, Michael. Let's answer that question for our writer's brother. And does God love everyone? Everyone. Osama bin Laden, Saddam Hussein, everyone. Muammar Gaddafi. Does God love everyone unconditionally?
Yes. The starting point of the question, which is, it is, he's correct. There is no better starting point for understanding the love of God than the first part of John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Now, the rest of the story in the book of John shows you just how much God loved everyone. And just what the giving of his son did for the, how it demonstrated the love of God to everyone. And the awesome understanding in the book of John is that Jesus began a process of elimination of all of those who had any claim to any faith, any obedience to God, to his law, any ability to believe, any ability to have faith, and Jesus began to shred that from that point on, all the way through until he went to the cross. And the awesome declaration just before, just a couple of days before the Passover, was that John recorded the fact that nobody did believe and recorded why no one believed. Because it was important that no one believe. And the demand to believe, again, was exactly like the demand to keep the law. The demand to keep the law was given for revelation, to understand no one could. The demand to believe was given for revelation, that no one could. In fact, not only no one could, but it was so vitally important that no one did that Isaiah prophesied, as is quoted in the John chapter 12, and said that it was so vitally important that no one do believe that God blinded their eyes and stopped their ears, lest believing they should be converted and I should heal them. One of the oddest verses you'll ever find in the entire Bible is that God blinded people's eyes and stopped their ears, lest believing they would be converted and I should heal them. That is the oddest thing you will read throughout the entire book of John. It is not John 3:16, but the oddest thing and probably the most powerful understanding of the revelation of the love of God is found in John 12, where John quotes Isaiah once again and says that it was so vitally important that no one believe that even God himself blinded their eyes and stopped their ears.
Right,
this prophecy was given several thousand years before this incident. It was so vitally important that this happened.
We covered this subject, folks, relatively recently, just a few weeks ago, with a show that, I'm not sure the date of it, but it was entitled God Put Supernatural Stupid on Them.
Yes.
And so, I mean, we covered that aspect of it, Michael. But
right.
what evangel, so if you want to go back, folks, you can hear all of that and listen to it on the archive. But what evangelical Christianity would say was, they would be, yes, God is love. They will admit that. God does love everybody. But God demands something of you. He demands belief. He demands faith. And you started getting into that whole controversy. What do you say to the staunch and good Christian that says, yes, God loves everybody, but you must believe in him?
Well, it was his love, it was his faith, it was his obedience, it was his righteousness, it was his sacrifice. You see, we have little caveats, if you will, in the process. There's things we know and there's things that church has inserted us into to make sure that Christianity can run. You see, Christianity cannot survive as long as all of the positions of the foretelling of the redemption of the world are fulfilled by Jesus. If they are all fulfilled by Jesus, Christianity has not a single leg to stand upon. It can't do it. But what happens is they say, yes, Jesus was the sacrifice. Yes, Jesus was the great high priest. But no, Jesus is not, it was not Jesus' faith. It was not Jesus' obedience. They removed those two things out of this amazingly foretold story some thousands of years before even the birth of Christ, whose life people say, well, why do you believe the scriptures? Because the life of this man was foretold thousands of years before he was born. His history was written before his birth.
And not only was his history written, but it was written through an entire nation of people.
Absolutely.
I mean, it was foretold through things that were actually going on. And we know this through historical evidence. I mean, if there is anything that demonstrates the sovereignty of God prior to the cross, it is the scriptures. It is the history from Adam and Eve, right through the history of Israel, through Malachi.
Yep.
You could not only could you not have designed that, even if that never happened, you can't even imagine the mind that would be able to create and then record hundreds of years, thousands of years,
absolutely,
before people would be able to start studying the intricacy of that. That was sovereignty. That was God's work before the cross. But, Michael, in the same way that faith was fulfilled at the cross, that belief was fulfilled at the cross, that prayer was fulfilled at the cross, obedience, sovereignty was also fulfilled at the cross.
Yes, everything that God had foretold and planned and predestined. The term that is used in the Bible is predestination and predestined. The foreknowledge of God, if you will. All of those things were fulfilled, completely fulfilled at the cross. It is the most powerful, the complete picture is the power of God, because that is what saves the soul. It's this entire story that saves the soul. The story saves the soul. The story renews the mind. The story is the power of God. The story is the power of God, and we can't let go of this story. We cannot insert ourselves into the play. That would be like, I mean, my goodness, with Shakespeare writing Macbeth, and I decide I'm going to insert myself into Romeo and Juliet. I'm Juliet up at the top,
right?
And Romeo speaking to me,
right?
And me trying to fulfill this response. This is a stage play beyond all a precedent that was written by God. You think Spielberg's good? Spielberg don't have anything.
See, you can glean
Spielberg.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Spielberg has nothing on God when it comes to writing a story.
And directing and producing the story. And yeah, exactly. Spielberg wasn't just a writer, is not just a writer. He's a producer and a director of stories. But you could not have orchestrated this unless you were God. It's not possible. That's why we believe.
Absolutely. There is no way.
That's why through our extensive study and consideration, we believe what Yeshua said about the scriptures and what the disciples said about the scriptures is true. That was about Yeshua. That was foretelling. That was foreshadowing. Michael, you could impose yourself and you could glean something from Romeo and Juliet. But in no way would any sane person say that the actual story is about them. But that's what Christianity does with both the scriptures, the law, the Psalms, and the prophets, and the New Testament writings. This is not about you, folks. This is not about you. You're not in there. And Michael, why is that freeing? Why does that free the soul?
Well, that lets my soul be in the role and the character of Michael Williams now. You see, if I try to insert myself in this, I'm trying to lead the role of a life that's already been lived. I'm trying to fulfill the life of Joseph, of Mary, of somebody. Do you know when I was in the mental institution, which I was there several times, do you know one of the most amazing things that I noted was that most of the people in the mental institution, once we totally lost it, we all became Bible characters. My goodness, we had the most spiritual place on earth. We had Mary and Joseph. We had all the Bible characters you could think of that people were assuming these roles. But see, that really is one of the heights of mental illness is to take on or assume the character or nature of somebody else.
Did you have Jesus?
Yeah, oh gosh, yes. We had Jesus. We had Jesus' brothers. And, I mean, goodness gracious, I think two of them hooked up together in one of the rooms.
Now, that wasn't right. Excuse me. I'm going to correct myself. I'm not saying that it wasn't right. It wasn't biblical.
That wasn't biblical, yes. A lot of non-biblical things happened in there for sure, and probably a lot of very biblical things.
Right.
But, you know, this story is so powerful that, see, the power of the gospel is that God controlled the lives. Get this. God controlled the lives of thousands and tens of thousands of people.
Millions.
Throughout history.
Millions. Of people. Yeah.
So I could be free to be myself. I didn't have to have a prescribed life. I don't have to have my history told before I ever arrived. People seem to think that's a powerful thing, but it's a paralyzing thing. You're not free if somebody else has already concluded your history.
Right. You were free not to be controlled. And if there is any evidence of religion, it's the desire to control. It's as old as the Garden of Eden, beautiful humans. You get around a group of people or an individual standing behind a pulpit that wants to control folks, all they're doing is doing what Adam and Eve did, especially Adam in the Garden of Eden, wanting to control. And here's the thing, is that God, after the fall, he was in control, but Michael, in the beautiful way that you articulated the upside-down kingdom, the control after the cross was turned over to every human being. We have been imputed now with righteousness and wisdom and sanctification and redemption. And that wisdom, folks, is not to get the right answer every single time. The wisdom is to know that you now have the control. You now have the choice. You are sons of God. Wow. Jesus was the Son of God. He had the ultimate choice, Michael, and he made that choice for all of humanity. This is Glenn Klein Online. It's Gospel Report. We're off to a roaring start, obviously. We want to hear from you at 1-800-436-3260. 1-800-436-3260, toll free all over the U.S. and Canada and all over the world. You can contact us at 813-425-5773, 813-425-5773. If you're listening live, if you're listening on the archive, as always, we want to hear from you. via the email at webcast@gospelrevolution.com. That's gospelrevolution.com. This is Glenn Klein online in studio. We've got Sean O'Halloran answering these very busy phones. Jeffro Robertson, the administrator of the Gospel Revolution, is also in studio tonight. And let us go now to the maestro of the Gospel Revolution, to beautiful Mainesville, Ohio. Let us welcome Greg Ambergy online. Gregory!
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Oh, it's going really good. You know, I was in the North last week, and I could talk like this again. When you're in the North, you can talk like this and say, yeah, hey there and stuff, and they don't even know that you're messing with them, you know.
Yeah, hey there.
Yeah, that's right. You betcha.
Yeah. How like Sarah Palin there.
God forbid. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
We have no complaints, but thank you for caring enough to
doing
ask.
Doing good here, too.
Yeah, good things are happening in Houston, Tampa, Cincinnati.
Well, this week, on Saturday and Sunday, we had a reunion for a choir I used to be in many, many years ago when I was a teenager. And it was really interesting to see everybody. I was really excited about it at the old church that I grew up in. And I noticed a couple things that kind of dovetail into what you're talking about tonight. I was just listening to a lot of the songs that we were singing this weekend. Some of them were just praise songs, and I really kind of enjoyed doing those. But a lot of the songs were about, you know, that sort of, I don't know if it's like a Pentecostal theme or something, but basically everything is either God trying you, the devil out to get you, or, you know, and you really, if something bad happens to you, you don't know who it is. And I was telling Glenn today on the phone that yesterday we had a little setback with my son's financial aid at school. And had I been in that old mindset, I think my first reaction would have been, I've got to figure out, maybe this is God's will that he not go back to Ohio University. Maybe this is God saying, you know, I want you to go a different direction, or else I could take say this is Satan fighting Adam getting his college education. Oh my God, we got a war against the devil. Because in the old mindset, you never knew which one was the way you're supposed to go. If anything bad happened, it could have been God changing your direction, or it could have been Satan fighting you.
Well, you knew this, as Ray Harris has pointed out, that was you know, really very poignant, is that Christianity preaches a 100% consistent devil. You know the devil's out after you, but you're not. But you're,
well, yeah, the
devil's
devil
always
out to get
he's always out to get you. But with God, you're not exactly sure. So you really got three things to consider: is it the devil? Is it God's will for Adam in this case to go back to Ohio U? Or is God saying to you he should not be back there? So you got we got a consistent devil and a very inconsistent God in Christianity.
Right. So I was telling Glenn today was that, you know, Adam and I had a little meeting of the minds, and we looked at our options today, and we logically and rationally, with a vital disposition, figured out what our options were. We got to work on a plan, get him back to school in September, and I think we're going to pull it off. And it was just such a nice thing to know that this wasn't God and it wasn't the devil. It was just some stuff that happened.
Right. It was just, Michael, it's called life, and a lot of times religious folks don't want to deal with life, do they?
No, that's for sure. And I think one of the saddest things that's happened in the whole realm of any type of spirituality is that it is used literally to live in denial of facing the facts. And that is the most paralyzing thing that can happen to you, is just to not simply accept the facts and accept things as they are, because from that point is how you begin to facilitate change. You cannot change anything unless you accept things as they are.
That is exactly correct.
Greg, what would have been your stance had the gospel not come into your life and you were still in charismatic, word of faith Christianity, if this news, what would your stance have been towards Adam?
I'm not sure, but I think it would have been, part of this was his messing a few things up, and I think I would have been I would have come down pretty hard on him, and this way I was able to just say, hey, you know, stuff happens. Didn't use the word stuff, but, stuff happens. Let's fix it. Let's move forward and see what happens. And it's just a much better, to be that role of the observer is such a mind or it's such a life calming perspective to have.
Mm-hmm.
To be the observer of what's going on and not have to feel like I have to control everything and I have to, that it's not my responsibility to, I saw one of my friends, one of my Facebook friends tonight had put something on a tweet. He's a preacher and he put something on about come to church tonight prepared to war against the devil. And I was just thinking, man, I'm glad I'm not there anymore. Because that's really, if you're warring against the devil and you're not even sure what he's up to, it's a really frustrating situation.
The level of condemnation, Michael, that puts people under, because obviously we've all got, as Greg says, stuff happening in our lives. And of course, when you go to that kind of so-called prayer meeting and you've got stuff in your own life happening, you've got to be going in there wondering, where is the chink in my armor?
Yeah.
Or you left
for
the door
sure.
open. I remember saying that.
No doubt. Yeah. And the whole issue, let me address this just a moment, because I know this comes up in conversation occasionally, about the issue of being the observer and leaving this completely, this whole thing open for us. You see, we're not talking about being an observer of life. We're talking about being an observer of yourself. That's what makes you proactive about life, is when you're able to observe yourself and to observe others around you, of course. But you are an active participant in life because you are an observer of yourself. And
how does that work?
That works by taking the position of letting the gospel just simply take its place in our hearts. That's just it. It does work on its own. The gospel itself takes you as an observer. Look, just think about what we talked about tonight. Think about it. We just talked about the fact you are nowhere on this stage. You're not on the stage. The gospel in and of itself makes you an observer.
You are strictly
an observer.
Mike, wait a minute. Do you know we're right in the middle of the decade of Greg, right? So all this
yes,
is
I do know
me,
that.
Isn't it?
It's the decade
I've
of Greg.
I've been observing
not all about
it
me.
It's all about you, Greg. Except the point at the start of the show was that the Bible is not the decade of Greg, was not prophesying the decade of Greg, was not foretelling the decade of Greg. Michael,
are you kidding me?
No, I'm very serious. Michael, but that is so true, because the scriptures are not about us. We have no other role but to observe.
We sit in our seats and watch the show. And see, that's the whole thing, is that in the process of understanding the gospel, that's the reason the gospel of peace is so powerful. That's the reason the gospel of grace is so powerful. All of these understandings, because what it has insisted upon is set your butt in the seat and watch. You are a witness. How much clearer could even it been said in the New Testament? We are witnesses of him. We are not participants.
Yeah, how
we are witnesses.
How did being a witness, think about that, folks. How did becoming a witness become an active participant in the process?
And a work.
How did being a witness become telling people what they needed to do?
Yeah.
You talk about a perversion of a concept. Oh, my God.
So this is how we get into this position. You see, once you can watch the show, once you can step back and look and see how God himself, the Spielberg of the Scriptures, how he orchestrated this entire thing, carried it off, made the plan, wrote the script, and selected the cast, gave them their roles, and birthed them into the planet to do the role. Now, Steven Spielberg can't birth his cast. He could not inspire their very role through their genetics. He could not do that. This has been done by God himself before people ever came out of the womb. That's what Jeremiah said, is that God, when God spoke to him, he says, I knew you before you ever came out of the womb, and I ordained you. I picked you. You are selected to do this. Now, see, what we cannot get past is that God does not do that anymore. I hope
exactly.
You got that.
Say it again.
Jeremiah said that God spoke to him and said, I foreknew you, I ordained you, I have called you to be this voice to the nations. This was God selecting his cast for the fulfillment of all things. All of the cast positions were filled. The story has been told. God is not selecting you for anything. You are born into this world a free person, completely free, and if infused with the gospel, empowered to select a life that you can follow from your own heart, and you, not with any predestination or plan of God or will of God, you are now the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. That is the powerful thing about the result of the gospel, is that your life was not foreordained by God. When you come into this earth, you are free. Select your path. Go the route you want, regardless of who your parents are, whether you were born in poverty or wealth or one parent or you don't even know who your parents are. Look what people on this earth have done when they realized their own identity and selected and chose to rise to the occasion of their own life following their own heart. We have a few examples of that through our history, sadly not enough. But the fact of it is that when this whole thing concluded, when Jesus was nailed to the cross, all pre-planning of humans' lives was over. All predestination was put to rest because all of it was done to give freedom to the human race so that we'd be empowered with absolute truth. We would be infused with all of these things. If God is, just think about it. After the cross, we are imputed with righteousness, sanctification, redemption, and wisdom. Why would he have given us those things if it were not ours to plot and plan our own way?
And the only way, folks, that the gospel is demonstrated is through free people.
Absolutely.
That's what we're engaged in right now. And we see the gospel's effect in free people, even though they don't know they're free,
Yep. Manifesting
more and more and more. You can plot human history. You can track it. And all the advances that have happened throughout history all speak to the same thing, the equality of all people.
Yes.
We're going to talk more about that. I've got an interesting story to tell as well. Gregory, thank you for calling.
Oh, thank you, guys.
It's tremendous stuff. Thanks, buddy.
Oh, good to hear from you, Greg.
Yeah, good hearing from you, Greg.
There's Greg Ambergy, the maestro and the senior correspondent from the Cincinnati, Ohio area. This is Glenn Klein Online. Michael Williams is with us. Jeff Robertson is with us. Sean O'Halloran taking your call. We got a line open for you now at 1-800-436-3260. We want to hear from you. 1-800-436-3260, 813-425-5773. Around the globe. We got Barry Laney waiting online, and we will get to his call when we return right here on the Gospel Revolution Radio Network.
What do you want to do? What's your heart say? How many people have wound up married because it was supposed to be the will of God? These are the things that you're all upset about. What would you like to accomplish, regardless of what age you are? Do you know how many people's lives have been paralyzed by sitting back waiting to figure out what the will of God was for their lives? I hate that doctrine. I absolutely detest it. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul.
That was just a sample of what Mike Williams said when he spoke at the 3rd Annual Gospel Revolution Convention in Calgary. Mike taught the book of Romans verse by verse from beginning to end, and you will never hear Paul's letter to the Romans taught like this. Connie Nelson told me after attending the convention that it changed her life and she will never see the Bible the same way again. Vic Dobrynin called it groundbreaking stuff, and David Dwyer of Brisbane, Australia said it felt like he had just been through a 10-hour detox program. This 11-hour series entitled The Book of Romans Revealed is available on audio CDs for $88 plus shipping and handling, or you can download it right now for just $44 at gospelrevolution.com. You have to hear it if you're going to believe it.
Thank you, Robert Moore. As God is my witness, we do not set these commercials up knowing what we're going to. We know we're going to talk about the gospel, but we never know exactly how it's going to go. I love it. That's good stuff. This is Glenn Klein Online. It's Gospel Revolution Wednesday night. Let's go back to the phones now to Coleman, Alabama, to Barry Laney. Barry.
Michael, Glenn.
How are you, buddy?
Hey, Barry.
I'm great. How are you guys?
We're wonderful. Say hello to Jeff Roberts.
Good here in Houston.
Jeff Roberts.
Hey, Jeff.
He's here, too.
Hey, Barry.
Yeah.
I saw your new videos. Good. I saw your new videos. They were good.
Well, I won't ever claim to be a great, eloquent speaker, but I just do the best I can.
I recognize your voice, Barry. I recognize your voice, Barry. I watched your YouTubes.
Oh, God help me.
your voice is very recognizable. Oh, my gosh. I looked at those and I thought, this is amazing.
Amazing? You serious?
It is amazing. Oh, my. I think your whole format, the way you present yourself and everything, is just wonderful.
I always say, God help me. You're so cool.
I just
thank God that the Holy Spirit is a great teacher, because I am not a great teacher by any means. I watch myself and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm turning everybody off.
Well, it was wonderful. I love it. I love your videos.
Oh, well, thank you, because I love yours, and I love your, everything about the gospel that you present is just, flipping awesome. But, Thank you for the commercial there, the great intro for everything.
Absolutely.
I have to say now. I was listening to it, and I was just totally amazed. I was like, man, they got this down pat. It's just going to fit right in. But
it was a DR.
But I was just thinking today about, you know, one of the greatest hindrances in my life. Me and my brothers talk about it, some of the greatest hindrances in their lives. You know, I'm 42, and I just now I'm wrapping up going to a college to get a degree, but one of the greatest hindrances that paralyzes myself, my brothers, and people that I know is that we have not been able to live out life with freedom. We have not been able to sail our own boat, be our own captain of our own ship, yes, because of the fear or even the excitement or expectation of prophecy that we were taught was to come.
Right.
And I got to really talking to my own heart about that. And, you know, Jesus did say that he fulfilled the law and the prophets, but I never quite understood it. I did understand the law part, and I've understood that quite some time, but I never, ever understood the prophet part. And I got to thinking about it today, how was that possible? And I guess this is more of a question, Mike, to you, and just what do you think about this thought, is it, would it not be impossible for any prophecy to be fulfilled without the law to enforce any demands for any blessings or judgment or wrath to come through a prophecy without the law to enforce it or put the demand on it? Therefore,
absolutely,
wrath to come is impossible without, since there's no law to enforce any wrath to come. Is that?
That's awesome.
That's exactly right.
I was trying to figure out how that was possible, and that's the only thing I could come up with, is the law enforces all this stuff. The law puts the demand on all this stuff. The law, for there even to be a blessing from God, you would have to follow a law, and for there any judgment to come, there would have to be a law broken. Therefore,
absolutely,
if the law was nailed to the cross, there can't be any prophecy to come. It's impossible.
Is that a correct statement? Jesus actually explained that himself. And when he said himself, I did not come to destroy the law, the term destroy there actually means to fragment the law. I didn't come to fragment the law or the prophets. He said, but I came to fulfill them. You see, they are together. Do you realize, Barry, that all prophecy came after the law?
Yes.
All prophecy is based on the law.
I'm seeing now how it would have to be.
Yes, it absolutely. So it is impossible to conclude. Jesus said, now, if there's any change of the law at all, now this is so very powerful because the total picture of everything you're talking about, Jesus actually gave us this total package that you're talking about. Jesus said that not one jot or tittle shall pass from the law until all, and he's speaking of the prophecies, because he said, I didn't come to destroy the law or the prophets. He said, but to fulfill them, and not one jot or tittle shall pass from the law until all is fulfilled. So, yes, this package of law and prophecy, you cannot have, if there is a single prophecy fulfilled, all the law is done with. If there's a single law done away with, all prophecy is fulfilled.
The fear of some futuristic revelation type prophecy to come upon us has totally paralyzed the whole nation of people, I should say.
And it's not just the prophecy that would come upon the nations. People take these things from the scriptures as prophecy against themselves.
Yes.
Against their own individual lives. You talk about a paralysis, Michael.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Well, you can get in line and get your own personal prophecy nowadays.
Exactly.
Oh, you sure can. You sure can. No, this is your point, Barry, is very powerful, and it's one that all of us need to understand, is this total fulfillment of all law and all prophecy. And the only way a law can be, if there's any change, Jesus said if there's any change to the law, that is your signal that all prophecy has been fulfilled. That's not my doctrine. That's Jesus himself explaining about law and prophecy. You can't do that. So you see the like you said, so where does this come down? What does that do to benefit me? Well, I think you've already very accurately portrayed what it does against me by not knowing that. It robs me of the freedom to choose life.
Yes.
You know, they always quote out of the Old Testament, I set before you this day life and death, choose life. They take that choice away from me by not allowing me to understand that all law and all prophecy has been fulfilled. The only way I can choose life is to know that all things are fulfilled, and now I have the freedom, not only the freedom, But I've been, God has imputed to me wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption to navigate my way through this.
Yes.
And people that don't know that don't have the opportunity to do that, and humanity loses out because of it.
Absolutely.
It's a very powerful thing. Barry, where can people find you on YouTube?
They can just do a search on there, and they can just search my name.
Or Shocking Truth.
Or Shocking Truth. That's correct, Jeff. Man, you guys are embarrassing me.
We're on it, buddy.
We know you, bro. We know you.
I know you.
Trail.
I'm a little slower on the go here as far as I think I sit down and I try to think things out logically. And you know, today I was like, why and how? How and why? I mean,
yeah,
what's
wonderful?
What's going on here? And you've said it, Mike, and I've heard you say it 1,000 times. The gospel is very logical, and when you do try to sit down and think it out, it is logical. And it is logical to me now that without the law, there cannot be any futuristic prophecy to come.
That's exactly
and
right.
And it's almost like we, with this doom and gloom over our heads, such as Revelations or you name it, the book of Daniel, we go around with an emotional sackcloth and ashes over our brain and our eyes,
absolutely,
going through life waiting on some doom to come and not getting anything done.
Yeah, who was that character in Charlie Brown that always had Linus? Linus always had the cloud. No, Linus had the blanket. Who was
Pigpen?
Pigpen. Pigpen had the cloud. Now see, Linus. See that's both are great pictures of Christianity. Because you want that you want that security blanket like Linus, just holding on to it, never growing up. You always want to keep your thumb stuck in your mouth. And then Pigpen with the cloud of the coming judgment. You know, this whole thing, Michael, about I have not come to destroy the law. I have not come to fragment it. That's what Yeshua said. He knew that the Pharisees and the modern-day Pharisees do the same thing. They fragmented the law. They picked and they chose, and they pick and they choose today which of the so-called law of God that they're going to adhere to or they're going to elevate to something that everybody has to follow, and that's the danger. The gospel revolution, Mike Williams' ministry, folks, does not fragment the law. We take it in its context, in its entirety. If you have committed, all are doomed. All are doomed. All are doomed.
All are doomed.
That's awesome. The fact that we're laughing and all. Because you're doomed, folks, that's how you're included in the plan of redemption. That's how Michael loves the fact that homosexuality is included in the redemption or in the condemnation.
I am thrilled.
You can only be included in the redemption if you're included in the condemnation. And by the way, the law of God, the law that was given to the children of Israel, not 10 commandments, 613 commandments, condemns basically all human endeavor and all human behavior. Then Yeshua upped the ante and he made us understand that it wasn't just endeavors, it wasn't just behaviors, it was human thought. Even human
just
thought.
Just think about it.
Just think about it.
It doesn't take 613, though. Adam proved he couldn't handle just one little rule.
Even one.
Point well taken. Barry,
absolutely.
Thanks, buddy.
Thank you, folks.
Call again,
thanks,
please.
Barry.
Call often and
Mike.
Call every week.
I'll do my best. Y'all have a good one.
All right.
Bye-bye.
There's Barry Laney from Coleman, Alabama. Love the Alabama.
Barry's videos are great.
Yeah. What is that? Jeff, what is that? That's
Shocking Truth.
Shocking Truth.
That's his channel on YouTube.
And Barry Laney.
All one word.
Is that the correct spelling?
Barry.
Shonish?
Barry Laney?
Yeah. How do you spell Laney?
L-A-N-E-Y.
That's how Sean L-A-N-E-Y. Has it. Barry Laney. All right. So, so Glenn Buchholz sent us a, this is amazing. We have to, Jeff, we have to put this on the homepage. On the signs of the times. It's a blast from the past. It is a picture that I don't know how Glenn got it. Maybe he took it. Of all of Mike's teachings, the old teachings. And when this was pre-goatee, and Michael, you have hair in these pictures. Like literal hair on your head.
That's of the devil.
With titles called Now Faith Is
Oh Jesus
Giving Truth Revealed, the classic Freedom, the Book of Colossians, the great. These are some of the, these are some of the classics. The Great High Priest, the Redemption of the World is in there.
Yeah.
That was done in my living room.
That was a favorite.
Vacation Bible School. That's beautiful. Oh my God, that is fantastic. We're gonna definitely put this on the homepage. You gotta see Michael without a goatee and with hair.
That's before I was saved.
You're a good looking guy. You're a good looking guy. You, who do you look like there? I don't know.
I look like Pat Boone.
You look like a young Billy Graham. Is who you look like.
It's Pat Boone. I got accused of looking like Pat Boone all the time.
Well, it could have been worse. This is Glenn Clyde Online. We got a few minutes left. That plenty of time for you to jump on the line with Barry going. We've got a line available for you at 1-800-436-3260. 800-436-3260. Glenn Buchholz, thank you for sending that in there. By the way, Glenn is, I don't know if this is on the website yet, Jeff, but he wants to be the Forrest Gump of the Gospel Revolution.
Oh, awesome.
We needed a Forrest Gump.
Email it to me because I didn't get anything.
All right,
run, Forrest, run.
I'm gonna stupid.
Now all this has to wait till I get back.
That's a great definition of Christianity right there, a Forrest Gump definition. Stupid is as stupid does. No doubt. All right, so call us. We've got plenty of time left. 800-436-3260. 800-436-3260. Keep Sean busy. And let us now go across the Gulf of Mexico. To the former Jesus freak, the current Josh freak of the Gospel Revolution. Let's go to Ray Harris. Ray!
Hey!
Ray, how are you today?
I am gospeling today.
How would you define gospely, Ray? How would you define gospely?
Everything that the gospel is. Happy, peaceful, calm. I don't want to say one thing, so I'll just say gospelly today from now on. I think that's what I'm going to start saying now.
Feeling gospelly.
I like that.
Feeling saved.
I like that. All right, so what do you got for us tonight? Wait, first of all, I got something for you. Why are you now, instead of the Jesus freak, why are you now the Josh freak of the Gospel Revolution?
Okay. I found out a few days ago, I think it is, no, last week, that Jesus' name is not Jesus, and that Jesus is actually a Greek name, and Jesus is not a Greek. Jesus is a Hebrew, and his Hebrew name is Yeshua, which is what you say all the time, and I never asked why you always said it. I kind of figured out why, but then I found out what both of the names mean, and yeah, that just answered my question on which one I want to stick to now.
What did you find out?
Jesus, being a Greek name, means son of Zeus, and Yeshua, Joshua, Josh, is salvation. Which name would you want to stick to? All right, I'll take Josh.
Right, and that makes so much more sense when you know that the angel that shows up to Miriam in Hebrew and says that you're going to name your kid Yeshua because he's going to save his people. The angel literally said, you're going to name your son Salvation.
Yeah.
He's going to save his people. A son of Zeus would have made no sense to a little Jewish virgin.
Well, I would understand why calling someone Jesus and he's supposed to be the Messiah absolutely works. And the reason why it works is the people who wanted that name used didn't want to see everyone free. If they would have saw everyone free, that means they lose their power. So I understand why selfish people would enjoy keeping power over others and changing such a beautiful name to Jesus. Goodness gracious.
Yeah, Michael, this absolutely blows the minds of Christian because we have the song Jesus, Jesus.
And we cry.
There's
the name makes us
something
weep.
About that name.
Yeah. Well, as Ray and I were talking this week, he said in typical Ray style, He said, that's the reason none of their prayers work for him, because they don't even know his name.
Yeah, you're supposed to pray everything in the name of Jesus, but that's not
the name. That's not even his name.
That wasn't his name. His name was Yeshua, was translated as the word Joshua. So, yeah, it's, you know, it is true. And what Ray has shared with everyone tonight is absolutely true. It is as true as the gospel is. It was not until about the second century that this name got inserted into the text of the New Testament and the writings of the New Testament. And for probably some very deliberate reasons, at the very same time that the name of Yeshua was changed to Jesus was the very same time frame that I can understand anyway that Christianity took over the pagan holidays. And so what better to do if we're going to take over the pagan holidays? It's kind of like compromise, you know, between mm-hmm. paganism and the gospel. All right, so we will do this. You give up this. We'll give up that. And we'll even do this. We will change the name of the Redeemer of the world to Son of Zeus if you guys will incorporate your beliefs and come and join us in Christianity. Christianity is the biggest hodgepodge of beliefs from Judaism, from Catholicism, and paganism. It is all just so mixed together of such a hodgepodge that I can guarantee you, please let me reassure you this, Christianity is not by any means or any stretch of anyone's imagination based on the scriptures.
For some reason, it's just, I want to say it, I hope it ties into that, but this week I've been looking at my cousin, and I told her all of this about 2 months ago, a few days after I was informed. And her view of God was very neutral. She kind of knew he existed, and she kind of didn't, and then kind of didn't care. And after I told her this, it was an extreme latch on to it. Didn't second guess. Wasn't looking for it. It was just a complete latch on to hearing it. And I was talking to her the other day, and we were, what did I say? I said something about, my sister, she wanted us to have like a family gathering somewhere, blah, blah, blah. And we were joking about her trying to get us all to go to church and blah, 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 and all this stuff. And I said, well, you know, if you don't go to church, that means you don't love God or something like that. And my cousin goes, why does if you don't go to church mean you don't love God? Church and God, well, the definition of what church is today for Maine people, church and God are two different things. And then she thought about it a little bit longer, and the complete sense of something that she really didn't care about, didn't consider, is the topic she probably knows better than my mom. Anyone that would go to school to learn the Bible or to learn about God, her complete logic and sense of that is greater and far beyond any of those people.
Well, it does, Michael. Yeah. It does have something to do with what you're saying, that Christianity has absolutely nothing to do with the scriptures. For a person that has not been immersed in Christianity, they are going to have a much easier time, as we have personally experienced, understanding the gospel, because they do not have the pollution of Christianity clouding their thinking, like Pigpen.
Oh, absolutely. And here, you know, one thing I want to help, let's put this in context, the process of this. You got to understand that Ray heard the gospel, embraced it, transformed everything about his thinking that you could possibly believe, literally transformed. And then within a couple of days was sharing with his cousin who had rejected church from the get-go. And within one conversation, I want you to hear what Ray said. Within one conversation, she knew more about the revelation of the gospel than scholars who've gone through Bible school for the last several centuries. Now, folks,
I look at her and I see everything, all the decisions that she's made in her life, and you know, the confusion she would go through and all that stuff and having all these freaking problems, and then to now, and she's only 20 years old right now. For her to something that to most people is not really important, for it to be something that's important and to give it all the credit, not even to give it all the credit, to acknowledge that it has all the credit already without you having to give the credit that you gave yourself back to it. To know that it holds all of the credit that it had before. To know that you don't need, you're not responsible for guilt because you don't have any now. You're not responsible for, giving it all up to God because the things that God needed to take on himself, he already took care of. So now everything, to know all of this in a less than 5 minute conversation. Why? It's
that's beautiful.
To know all of this now in a less than 5 minute conversation. I spoke with another one of, I call her one of my four moms. I spoke with her earlier this week as well. And she was one of those people that went to, she, maybe in her late 40s now, went to church and it couldn't deal with it because it just seemed like it was too contradictory. So she put her head in that book herself and read everything about that book and figured it out all on her own. There may be a few loose screws about all of it, but the complete gist of it, she has, and she's had it in her for all the years. I've known her for about 10 years now. And when I first met her, I knew there was something completely different because she could say things out of the Bible but not be a church person.
Right.
Meaning she's not going to be, I don't like you because you're this, or be angry to people that treated.
She had a lack of judgment.
Yes. I watched her for 5 years straight.
That's awesome.
Without knowing this. I watched her for 5 years, and she, out of all of the people that I knew that were older, was one of those that I could just put in a completely different category. I couldn't even categorize what group she was in because she was a complete alien.
That's awesome. Hey, Ray, we got to go. We got another caller. We're in overtime. So,
go.
Yeah, no, that's good. can't wait to see you, buddy.
Thanks, Ray.
There's Ray Harris, all right, the Josh Freak of the Gospel Revolution. And I love that. Let's go now to Salmon Falls, Ontario. This is our last caller of the evening, Marjorie House. Marjorie!
Hi.
Thanks for calling. How are you?
I'm great, actually. I just wanted to call in and say hello to Mike and Glenn and Jeff
Robertson. Thank you, Marjorie.
Yeah, it's great to put a voice to a name.
I talked to Jeff on Facebook, and I got these tapes from Mike Williams. Oh, they weren't from Mike, though. They were from a fellow in Winnipeg, and it opened my eyes to the truth about stuff that I believed, and I don't believe anymore. Anyways, I just wanted to introduce myself, and I want to get on board with you guys. And I really enjoyed the podcast. I've been listening to them now for about, 2 months. And the radio
That's
show
awesome.
I listened to last week, I was going to phone in last week, but I couldn't make it. I couldn't do it. I wasn't ready.
No, it's great to hear. Are you getting the e-newsletter from the Gospel Revolution?
I finally started getting that.
Okay,
yeah.
good.
I got
You're
one
hooked
today,
up.
Actually. Pardon?
you're hooked up.
You're in the loop.
So anyways, I did have a question to ask.
Yes, please.
About the gifts of the Holy Spirit that Paul talks about. I'm just wondering, are they available to us still? Or, like, I'm so mixed up a little bit on stuff like that. Like speaking in tongues, I speak in tongues.
That makes four of us.
and hearing God's voice, I still feel I hear Him. And anyways, I just want your thoughts on all that. I don't know how to explain myself here.
No, it's good. In fact, Ted Winsett, the pastor ambassador of the Gospel Revolution, called in earlier, and the pastor asked question tonight is basically the same question that Marjorie asked, Michael. What role does the Holy Spirit play today in our lives? Are the gifts of the Holy Spirit active? Marjorie talks about speaking in tongues. We've talked about it many times on this webcast. So what's the Holy Spirit's role since the cross?
Oh, this is one of the most dynamic things, I think, that we'll be talking about in days to come. Is this powerful, active role that the Holy Spirit has as the one who reveals, and yes, gifts of the Spirit. I do think that those are very vital and alive for today. I think we've so Christianized them that mm-hmm. we hardly know what they are. We think they're supposed to take place in a church and somebody on that side of the church, Shondai Bobos, and over here somebody interprets, and, you know, the gifts of healing or when you have an altar call or whatever.
Yeah.
And or just the gifts of the Spirit, wisdom and understanding and all of those things. I don't count any of those things at all. I think the way that they are being expressed, though, is through the truly through the wisdom of God being in the earth. You know, let me say this. When a woman is shot in the head with a high-powered gun and walk out of the hospital mostly intact and able to communicate, believe me, gifts of healing are still here.
Okay.
When people can go into such trauma with their bodies now and diseases, and wind up on the other side of this. I see, when I look at this issue of gifts of healing and all of this, I see something, a much bigger picture than somebody coming up in an altar call. We are at a point in the history with the human race to where that we have developed nanotechnology, and we have mapped the human genome. And the ability to find and cure and treat diseases and prevent diseases is laying at our feet. It is literally laying at our feet. Now, see, I believe that it's the wisdom of God in people's hearts that was imputed wisdom, and the special gifts and talents given to people around this planet that have brought us to this place. I could care less whether I ever hear somebody saying, oh, the pain left, or I used to be this and now I'm all of a sudden that. All of those things, as great as they may sound, have not made the slightest impact on this earth. But what has made a great impact on this earth is St. Jude's Hospital. It has been the burn centers around the planet. And see, to me, that is wisdom beyond anything that we would ever had before. And I think that it's growing. I think it's developing. I think the ability and the wisdom and the gifts of the Spirit have laid out in front of us a potential future that is unsurpassed in the history of the human race. But we've got to, I know it sounds strange to say this, to say we've got to despiritualize the gifts of the Spirit, but I think that really is what we have to do. We have to see them in a context to where that God's wisdom that has been imputed to us and the action of the Holy Spirit, which helps us understand things we never understood before, in conjunction with that, is bringing health and healing in ways we've never known before. And believe me, there's been more people healed at St. Jude's than's ever been healed in anybody's church.
Okay, where is this place, St. Jude's?
Oh, St. Jude's is just one of my favorite hospitals.
It's a children's hospital in Memphis.
Yes,
oh, okay.
It was started by Danny Thomas. I mean, his support of St. Jude's. And I think he actually started the hospital. I can't remember the exact story. But anyway, this hospital has been dedicated to cancer research for children. And there are thousands of children every year that would have died just in the last generation had it not been for just... Now, we're talking about just the research that has taken place just at St. Jude's.
And would have died if people would have relied on Christian prayer.
Absolutely.
Instead of taking their kids to St. Jude's and all the other wonderful children's hospitals and other medical facilities all over the world.
It's unbelievable. So I do believe in all these things. However, I think that we've got to stop thinking of them in light of Christianity. And let this be a human race experience, because if we've all been made righteous and holy and perfect in the eyes of God, we've got to realize these gifts can operate anybody, anywhere, at any time, and this, through the power of the Spirit. And these are not things that I predestine or control. It's when people are open to a thread of wisdom, a thread of knowledge, just the slightest thread, one thread of knowledge can transform this whole planet. I mean, two boys playing in their garage has totally transformed the way we communicate on Earth in the last 15 years.
Yeah, referencing Microsoft and Bill Gates.
Yes.
Yeah.
And suddenly the whole world takes on a whole talk about being able to hear people around the planet and everybody able to hear the same thing at the same time. Do you know that we talk about people around the planet being able to hear the same thing at the same time? Do you know this is actually the first time in technological history that has been true, that it could happen?
Right. Go ahead, Mike. I'm sorry.
You see that just like with Ray, now let's take Ray Harris's little story, powerful story, of he understood the gospel at Jones in 1960. You know how people say, I can tell you the time, I can show you the place. Well, I can take you to the time and the place where that one element of truth of the gospel unraveled everything, and he's been a question answering and asking machine ever since. He then shares within a couple of days with his cousin, who totally gets it all of a sudden. And you see,
this. She doesn't know what Jones in 1960 means, though.
Right, nobody does. Okay. But it's Vine Street in Hollywood. It's whatever that corner is in your town, you know. And so here's the thing. We are so spiritual, we've got to stop trying to be spiritual.
Yeah.
That's how spiritual we are. Do you realize what a foolish thing it is for a giraffe to try to be a giraffe? Or a bear try to be a bear?
Yeah, that makes sense.
That's what Christianity is. And it, you know, and they're dressing up trying to act spiritual. They have altar calls. They, you know, well, we're going to pray for the healing now. We're going to do this. We're going to do that.
You got to wear certain clothes.
Absolutely. Yep. And garments.
And have your hair a certain way. Or your makeup a certain way. Or no
exactly.
makeup. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Marjorie.
Well, I left the I don't know if you want to say Christianity or the religion of Christianity. Anyway, the way my mother passed away in 2004, and she had an incredible experience on her deathbed. And my mom never believed in God or anything, right? And it was amazing. Anyway, and some circumstances happened, and I ended up. I just said, Lord, what do I do? Where do I go?
Yeah.
And He just said, nowhere. I want you to. Go stay home and learn from me. And I said, okay.
Don't go anywhere.
Yeah. You know what? It was such a relief to know that I didn't have to go back
yes.
to a church.
Yes.
Because I haven't been I'd go and I'd come out of there miserable all the time, depressed.
Yeah.
But I'm on my own here. I've got a lot of friends that are still in the church and that.
Marge, you're not alone. Believe me.
Okay.
That's for sure.
We're in over 160 countries now.
Wonderful.
Of the world. And, you know, it's a big old human family. And I know.
Well, thank God for Facebook.
Thank God for Facebook. Thank God for the web. You know, what Michael said, if those guys wouldn't have been in the garage messing around, you wouldn't be able to be listening right now. And the people that are listening all over the world wouldn't be able to hear Marjorie House right now.
Yeah, here I am in Finland Falls, Ontario. Is anybody out there? But anyway.
We're here. And we will remain to be here. And please call us again, okay?
Okay, one question.
You are a treasure, Marjorie.
Pardon?
You are a treasure.
Thank you. I just wanted to ask you if you ever come to Ontario, the Toronto area or something. You know, Toronto's a couple hours from me. Do you ever come to Toronto? Or do you just have to leave?
You know, in my past life, I have been there. yes. Yeah.
But we want everybody to know that Michael will come to Toronto, and it just takes somebody inviting Mike. And all you got to do. Go ahead, Mikey.
We actually have a lot of people in the Toronto area. It's just we've got to gather them back up and, you know, find their locations and stuff. So hopefully with you calling in, you know, some of these folks we will find again. It's just been incredible. You know, we plowed through Canada with the gospel. And people went scattering far and wide, and now we're trying to find them all again. So
they're out there, but all you got to do is go, for anybody out there, wherever you're listening from, is just go to the website, gospelrevolution.com, and page down at the bottom of the homepage, and it says Invite Mike. Literally, invite Mike. And Michael goes everywhere, and we'll go to Toronto, we'll go to Salmon Falls, Ontario, for that matter.
Finland Falls.
What
Finland.
Is it?
It's Fenlon, F-E-N-E-L-O-N, Falls.
Wait, hold on. I got to write this down.
Finland.
I heard salmon. Spell that one more time, Marjorie.
It's Fenlon, F-E-N.
F-E-N is it Nancy?
No, Fenlon like in Fred.
Yeah.
And then E.
Yeah.
N.
Yes.
E-L-O-N.
Okay, Fenlon.
Yep.
Fenlon Falls.
Yep.
I bet it's beautiful there right now, isn't it?
It is gorgeous.
What was the temperature Fahrenheit today?
About 29-30 Celsius.
Celsius. Well, that translates to what? About 70?
About 82.
82. Well, thank God Jeff's here. The instant mathematician. The instant decipher of all things math.
We've had a major heat wave here for the last 2 weeks.
Not like where Mike's calling from.
No.
I don't know. They've actually been hotter than us.
How's the fires all down there? We've got fires up north up here now.
Wow.
I think they got them out.
Yeah, no. I don't think that they're as a big threat right now, but we're still in a drought in this in all of Texas. But mm-hmm. We don't see any down around this area.
No, that's good.
All right, Marge. Well, thank you so much. Call again, okay?
I will.
All right.
Great talking
to you guys.
Thanks,
Marge.
Awesome. Okay. Thanks for calling. There's Marjorie House.
Bye, Jeff. Bye.
Bye.
Bye, Glenn. Bye, Mike.
Bye.
Bye, Sean.
Bye, Sean.
Bye.
I like that.
Bye, Sean.
Bye.
There's Marjorie House from Fenlon, Ontario. So you've been communicating, Jeffro, with Marge on Facebook.
Oh yeah, there's a lot of Facebookers, and it's always neat to actually hear one of them call in. They're always like, "I don't know what I want to say. Just say hi. That's all you got to do. You don't have to come on with some profound revelation."
But it's amazing when people do call, Michael, with just saying hello. That not only do we hear their heart, but eventually something really profound ends up coming out, as it did with Marjorie tonight.
Well, it's deep calling to deep, you know.
It's deep calling to deep, yes, indeed.
It just makes a call. The deep will happen. So.
That's awesome. Well, as always, or almost always, we've gone overtime, so we want to thank everybody for logging on. Let us hear from you this week at freedom@gospelrevolution.com. You can email the show anytime with questions or comments at webcast@gospelrevolution.com. Want to thank Greg Ambergy from Ohio for calling in, Ted Winsett from Decatur, Alabama for writing, and Barry Laney, also from Alabama, from Coleman, Alabama, and Marjorie House, who you just heard from Fenelon, Ontario. Of course, Josh Freak, a.k.a. Ray Harris. Glad to hear from him. So happy to hear from him every week. Jeffro, thanks for coming down from Lake Halitosis.
Yay, Jeff. Man. I didn't have any clue Jeff was there. I called him to let him know I was having difficulty logging on, and I heard Sean in the background. I thought, how is this happening?
It happens because he got in the car from Lake Poniatowski and came on down.
Yes,
yeah.
He did.
It was a special request by Richard Mull to have me on the webcast tonight, and I actually needed, or I was hoping Sean could do something for me while I was down here, so it served two purposes.
And can he?
No, we're going to work it out. He's going to log into my computer on the weekend and help me out that
way. Beautiful, beautiful.
Awesome.
And glad to get you out of the lake cabin there in Lake Panasonic.
In my little isolation hermitage.
Oh, a week from Friday is the Gospel Revolution Summit in Houston. For more information about that, you can call Jeff at the office Monday through Friday from 9 to 5. It's very limited seating, but if you're intrigued at all, give him a buzz. You can call him anytime. The number is also at gospelrevolution.com. Sean Edge, thank you. Sean O'Halloran.
Thanks, Sean.
Yeah, thanks, Sean.
The producer, engineer, and call screener extraordinaire of the Gospel Revolution. Mikey, it always goes too fast, and we could do this 3 hours every day, 7 days a week, no doubt. At least 3 hours a day.
It would never end, and thanks everyone who's listened in tonight and everybody who participated. I tell you, I think what happened for me tonight is I got a picture of how overnight we could reach a billion people. This is so powerful, and I love you guys, and thank you for everything, every thought, especially your thoughts, and everything that you do to make this Gospel Revolution a powerful force in this earth.
Absolutely. This is Glenn Klein Online, reminding the cheerleader of the Gospel Revolution, Carla, that I am on my way home. So get that tea and honey ready, baby. Until next time, this is Glenn Klein Online saying shalom, everybody.